drink alcoholic. I always forget that you guys don't like read a lot before this. And I was going to just like I just feel like I was shot up here. So
this mic picks up
really okay. Well, so also, you stand wherever you want to. I get yelled at all the time because I kind of talk a little quiet. So I'll try to speak up.
No, you're good. It'll pick you right up.
Okay. But thank you so much for having me. Again, I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is May 10th, 2018. I had a sponsor and home group actually I don't have right now, but that's just because our home is on wheels and it keeps moving. And it was, in Waynesboro, but right now we are in Louisa. And so there are meetings that I go to regularly. But home group has kind of been, so I just make sure that I check in, you know, with the people in the meetings that I do go to. It's the first time in a while that I haven't had like a solid home group, and that feels a little weird. But we do live on an RV, if that's why my home is on wheels, if that makes sense. And we are heading off again probably in like March. And so I probably won't get a home group until I get back. But your home group is basically just like your address in AA is what it was explained to me. And it's like a meeting that you go to and you have service at. And if you're not there, people ask where you are. And it's kind of just where you feel like most comfortable in AA, but I'm not going to lie. I feel really comfortable in like every AA meeting I go to these days. I'm a mom of two under three now, I guess. I have a 2.5-year-old and a baby. So any like meeting that I get to go to, I'm just like, I just soak it up because my husband's also in the program. So we have to, you know, split schedules and stuff. And I will admit, I'm not always like super pumped to go to the meeting, especially tonight. I wasn't really pumped to come here, I'm not gonna lie. My husband was just like kind of being a dick, you know, all day. And then I also stopped vaping today for the first time. So I'm a little like probably a dick also and squirrely. My kids skipped their nap today, which is also just like, if you have kids, you understand that that's not okay at all. And it was just one of those days. And I was like on my way here and like called a girlfriend and was like, I really don't want to speak at this meeting. Like, this is like the last thing I want to do. And she was like, Kate, you're not going to like to hear this, but that is the best thing that you could be doing right now. Like, you will feel so much better. Even if nothing changes, like when you get home, like you will just feel different when you leave. And that's like, that's A for me. Like, that's it right there. And even though like, I don't believe it sometimes, or it's like, it is my experience. So eventually I just like had faith when she said that, because that's always been the case in the past. So it most likely will be tonight. Even if I bomb and you guys don't get anything out of my talk, like I will still feel better about coming here and doing this. So thank you for having me. And I guess I just go until like 6:50 or around 6:55. Then. Okay, perfect. Okay. So I am from Long Island, New York. Irish, Italian, Catholic family. My mom is an alcoholic, and I can say that just because she is in these rooms currently and has been in and out of the rooms like my entire life. I literally grew up in AA. Like, my brother and I were in that back room eating the cookies and putting on like Britney Spears concerts for everybody, like after the meeting and stuff. I actually remember this one guy, I think his name is Bob, and he had like really long hair and a mustache, and I don't know, you guys were just cool. Like, even when I was younger, I could tell like people in AA are cool. And you were like really friendly to me. And, but my mom like was never able to, you know, have continuous sobriety. She's been just like kind of in and out. And so I was kind of confused about like what AA was. I kind of viewed it as more like just like a support group type thing, like just somewhere you went and talked about how you can't stop drinking. And then you just went home and drank and caused like more destruction and stuff. So I was like, all right, you know, noted. And it was just like very chaotic at home. Lots of, you know, dropping knives on your feet. And like the fire department was always over because she would like leave the stove on and like almost burn the house down. So like she was known around, you know, my town as an alcoholic. So I wasn't able to have like sleepovers at my house. And the one time that I did have a sleepover with like a really, really close friend and neighbor, it was a bad situation. And they had to get like picked up and whatever. Just a lot of, I always felt different. I felt like my home was different. I felt a lot of shame, like since I was born, like I just felt dirty. I felt wrong. I felt perverted. I felt like my mind was just like fast. Like I just constantly would like have one thought and then like one crashing into it before that one ended. And was just like, had so much going on up there. And just like completely like incapable of having like another like connection with a human being. And that is like all I wanted. Like, I even just remember like wanting to be like a therapist when I was younger, or like if someone was like having a hard time on the playground, like trying to like sit down and like, cause I think I was just like desperate for like some kind of human connection. And just someone maybe to like love me or see me, you know? But I, yeah, I didn't like myself. I just knew that something was like wrong there. And I had like a lot of fear too, like so much so that, every single night I would like convince myself that I was going to have a stomach ache. And every single night I would like throw up, and I would like go to my dad and tell him, and like, it's all in your head. And they would take me to doctors and they would say, it's her nerves. Like, she's just like a nervous, anxious child or whatever, which basically is saying like, there's something wrong with you. Like, you know, confirmation, like there's something, like you're insane or something. And like, I was like left home alone, I would, you know, just like call the cops just to like talk to them. Like I'd just call like the 911 to talk to the operator and stuff. My dad would come home and be like, you can't just call the fucking cops when you want to talk to somebody. Like, it's not okay. Like, I was just like a weird kid, you know, super anxious. And like, there was assumption there, you know, my parents weren't perfect. They were divorced and like, you know, whatever. So, and I hated alcohol. Like my mom was, and she still is, like, just such a force. Like, she is like outgoing. She had a belly ring for like far longer than it was like appropriate for her to have a belly ring. Like, she's just like, everyone knows her. All my friends love her. She would like come into like my school to pick me up, like dancing in her like leather jacket, like just so, so awesome. But then like when she started drinking, she would just like hurt, go dead. Like, she would pass out. She was just one of those where she would just like completely pass out in her room. And I mean, like, to the point where like, you could not wake her up. Like, it was just like, she was dead, you know? And I would like hide her alcohol and like that type of thing. And I knew that it was alcohol that was doing it. And so like, I always kind of told myself, like, I, you know, I would never drink. And as far as God, when I was younger, we did go to church, but it was more just like on Easter or Christmas Eve, or, you know, I had like my confirmation and like all of those things, but like, we didn't go every Sunday. It wasn't talked about at home. God wasn't talked about at home. Maybe I prayed sometimes. I think one time when like my grandma was dying or my great grandma, I like prayed to like, you know, keep her alive or little things like that, but never had like a personal relationship with God. And that's kind of just my experience with that also. So we wound up moving from like a not so great area. My mom wanted to do a geographic and like get us into better schools and like things like that. And so we moved to this like really nice, like upper middle class, like just to like, this is what I was dealing with. Like, these girls like bat mitzvahs and bar mitzvahs. It's a very like high Jewish community. They would like, ever see like on MTV, like the Sweet 16, that used to be a show. Maybe like the younger guys would know, but like Sweet 16, they would like come out of the floor. Like, that is what these bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs were. Like, these people would like come out of the floor with like smoke, and it was parties, and like, they just had money. They were like really rich. Like, they were wearing like Juicy Couture, like tracksuits and stuff. And like, I was wearing Payless shoes and had like a big like headband. And I just felt like completely uncomfortable and completely out of my element. Didn't know anybody. I think it was like around 11 or 12, which are already like so awkward. And this girl, Heather, who was just like this blonde, big boob, you know, boisterous, whatever, Heather Liebman, she just decided to befriend me. And for some reason, she just loved me and just like took me in and introduced me to all these people. And it was perfect because her brother was the drug dealer for our town, and her dad was a drug dealer for an entire county, and their house was even more chaotic and more of a disaster than mine. And so I think I actually started smoking weed and stuff like before I started drinking. And then once I started drinking, I didn't even think of my mom's out. Like, none of those like promises or things, I'll never be like her. Like, that wasn't even on my radar anymore at that point. It was just like, I'm just going to do this to like fit in. And cause like this girl's doing it and whatever. And I actually don't remember like the first time that I drank, which for a while I thought meant that I was an alcoholic, because you guys like all seem to have like an epic story about like your first time and like whatever. And I didn't, but I know that I really enjoyed it because I did not stop. It got like really, really bad, really fast. In high school, I just, you know, it was more like binge drinking on the weekends. And then very quickly, it was a lot of like outside issues. And that's just my experience. Like, I do have a lot of experience with drugs and things like that, other substances, because I was so young and it was illegal for me to buy alcohol. It was just easier to get my hands on, you know, other things. But I know 100% that I'm an alcoholic, not just because of, well, for multiple reasons, but the main thing is like, once I start drinking, I cannot control the amount that I take. And once I stop, like I inevitably will return to alcohol, even if it's like a day, a year, and I have all of those experiences, 6 years, you know, I will inevitably return unless I have like a sufficient substitute, like at least I have like a higher power or something that, you know, prevents me from picking that up. I will drink again. And I used to hear that and think that, you know, once I start drinking, I can't stop. That's what I thought I heard. And that wasn't my experience also. I'll get into that later, but there were times where I could have like 2 glasses of wine and like watch The Bachelor or, you know, go out to dinner with my husband and stuff and like have a glass of wine. And there were times where like, I was kind of able to control it. Was I happy controlling it? No, not at all. I was like gritting my teeth and trying to prove I wasn't an alcoholic in those moments. But for me, it's like progressive in that, like, eventually the blackouts start getting more and more frequent. And I guess I'll get into all of those, but what I'm trying to say is I 100% identify as an alcoholic. And I just happen to do a lot of drugs. So I, you know, didn't, go to school very much. I like wound up dropping out, I think in like 11th grade or something. I was a mess. Like I was jumping out of cars on highways. Like actually it was a really terrible situation. I like got caught in like a lie and my mom was like dragging me to work and I didn't want my employer or her to find out that my employer hadn't been paying me. He'd been paying me in drugs like under the table and da 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 da. And my like life was going to be exposed. And so on my way there, it was like me and my friend Sam in the back of the car. We were going like 50 miles an hour on Jericho Turnpike. And she had these like long acrylic nails because those were like really in when I was in high school. And we thought we were like, whatever. So she had this like long nail. And I remember driving and feeling like I have to just escape, you know, like I'm a runner. And if I'm faced with like a lie or have to get out of trouble, like I will do anything to avoid that and continue just like living the way that I was. And so I opened the door and I like put my foot down and it got like really hot. It was like, whatever, we were like going so fast. And I just tossed myself out and my friend Sam tried to grab me and her nails were like, and like her acrylics like popped off and stuff. And I rolled and then I jumped over one of those like white plastic fences. That's like how much adrenaline I had. Like it was crazy actually. Like, it makes me feel like I can see why like moms can like pick up cars and stuff because I was like freaking Hulk. Like I was just like, so anyways, that was like a snapshot of me in high school. It was a mess. I was like at parties, you know, like burning myself. I have all these terrible scars because I was like getting really drunk and like, you know, carving things in my arm. I was just like a psychopath. And then at the same time, like trying to like work at a daycare. And so I would like show up at the doctor to get my like hepatitis or Tdap or whatever. And then they looked at my arm and there were like cigarette burns. It was like already like double life. Cause I kind of felt like there was this person inside of me that wanted desperately just to be like normal. And I actually did like, again, like want human connection. I did like kids, like I, whatever. I was just like constantly like in a battle, but then at the same time was like so uncomfortable that like, I just had to drink, and, you know, do other things. And so when you're living like that, eventually you get caught, you know, I was in like lots of outpatients and things like that. And then eventually, and like therapy, I've been in therapy since I was like 6 or something, seen all the therapists for like divorce and, my parents divorced at mine, I was 6, but, and they were always like, it wasn't helpful because like, I always played up the victim and stuff. And so like my therapist actually called me like little Miss Kate or something that was like, kind of like I kind of like got her on my side type thing. Like I was always able to play the victim and like throw something out, some experience, some trauma that like happened to me to like make them feel bad. And I love therapy. And actually in like my adult sober life, like I do think it is really important to address certain things that AA doesn't address. You know, it is important to seek like outside help. But at that point in my life, like therapy was not, it was just kind of like, you know, you're okay. And like self-care and, you know, whatever. And I was just like selfish, my core, and my drinking, like what it allowed me to do, even in high school, and why I did it so much is it allowed me to, number one, just feel comfortable in my own skin. Like it made me feel like my, all of those like voices and like how fast it was going. Sorry, I'm like very, very hot in this thing. I think it's like cool or something. But all of those like voices in my head just kind of like quieted down. My like my thoughts were a little bit slower. I felt like, you know, like the drunk girls in the bathroom, like type connection, like you're so beautiful. Like I felt like connected to other people. I remember like being at this party and like helping this girl throw up. And like, I was so selfless that like I stuck my fingers down her throat and I like helped her, you know, get it out. Like I just felt like it really helped me like connect with people when I was drinking. And I like made friends and, you know, just felt like I had arrived in high school. Like I, you know, just felt like I could do whatever I want. I felt invincible. I felt like no rules applied to me. Yeah, like I could throw myself out of cars and like survive. Like I just really felt like, I don't know. I also just had no care for my life, I guess is what it comes down to. But I do remember waking up, even when I was younger, in that waking up with like the four horsemen, like the terror, bewilderment, frustration, and despair, and kind of just feeling like this hole in me. And I'll just like skirt up because I feel like I have a lot more to my story. But so I wound up, my parents sat me down when I was 16. And the fact that my dad and mom were in the same room at one time, like I knew like it was something big, you know, because they just did not like interact like that. And they sat me down and they said that I'm getting sent away to this treatment facility and that it's like a long-term treatment facility and I'll be there for like at least 2 years. And I was like, whoa. I was like, that's, you're being like really dramatic, you know, and I tried to play it off. But at this point, like they had just picked me up from my boyfriend's house. It was like a Wednesday and I'd overdosed and, you know, sprained my ankle and stuff. I think I took like 9 Xanny bars, 3 Vicodin or something, was drinking. Like it was completely ridiculous. I had like alcohol poisoning. One time it was like a 0.39 blood alcohol level, which is significantly bad. I was like 16, you know, and I remember waking up with like the patches all over me and the doctor with a little board being like, so why did you try to kill yourself? And I was like, I was trying to have a good time. Like I was so offended, like kill myself. Like I'm not like, and that has never been my thing. Suicide has never been, I have been dark, but like I said, like I'm a runner. Like I just will feel like I'm going to just go start a new life in Guatemala or something like that. Like just like leave this all behind and start over. But suicide was never like a thing at this point in my life. So, but at this point when they had sat me down and said, I'm getting sent away, there was a part of me that was almost like felt like, okay, like I can take a break from like the way I'm living and all of the hospitalizations and the lies and the things like that. And I remember taking a shower and just feeling like scrubbing myself with soap and just feeling like so filthy. Like I could not scrub like just the filth and dirt. And like, I just felt like a like shell of like a human being. Like I was just like so young and just so dead. Like I was just dead inside. I had like long hair that was like completely dead. I had 2 teeth in the back of my mouth that were like completely rotted out. And I had dental hygienist now. And that's like, but like, you know, just like complete lack care of like self-care. And yeah, I mean, I was going to die. Like I was so young. You can't live that way for very long. And so I was sent to this facility. I was there for like 2.5 years. And that, I mean, you were forced to be sober there. This place, I could talk about this place for 7 hours because it was so, really, it was like bizarre. You probably have heard some people from DC talk about the Family Foundation School. If they've come here, little culty, you know, very weird things, like weird sanctions. I was like on eyes down. So if like any boys were around, and they never asked if I liked boys, but I mean, I did, but if like there were boys around, like I had to look at the floor. And like, I had to wear like these weird, I had to wear like sweatpants. I couldn't even wear like scented deodorant or lotion. Like I like was on work sanctions, so I didn't go to school and I had to just pickaxe like for no, like holes, like literally like the show holes. Like it was bizarre. But what it did do is it introduced me to AA for me. Like I had grown up going to like Al-Anon and, you know, Alateen, and was even in this like little group in elementary or middle school or something for like children of alcoholics and stuff. But it was the first time that like I was introduced and young people were coming in and sharing their experience and like war stories. And at least that's what I heard was all their war stories and was like, you know, tuning in for. And I did have that kind of like the seed was planted and was like, okay, like I really relate to these people's like drinking and stuff. But then kind of like laughed to myself, the fact that they were like out and not in a facility and like still sober. Like I was just like, that was like not my plan. So it introduced me to AA, it introduced me to service, and I did have a spiritual awakening while I was at this place, like to the point where I have never questioned like the existence of God, like since then. And like, it kind of was a burning bush like type situation, whatever. Basically I was just like in this church and there were like all these people singing and they were like of all different, you know, ethnicities and just completely like complete diverse like scene, and they were like all singing the song, and like I'll never forget the song. It was just like, this God knows, I don't know, and I'm not even whatever, but like I've never like been to church and stuff, but it was something in me, like I had literally felt like the presence of God, and like for like the first time in my life I was like overwhelmed and like was really crying and stuff. And then that didn't like keep me sober, like I still, you know, but I've never questioned the existence of a higher power like since that day. And so when I got out, I was like 18 and I fell in love with a boy from that rehab, which is such BS, but he was my best friend in this rehab. And again, like there was no fraternizing. Like if we even like touched feet under a table, like you were like crucified, you know, whatever. But he was like my best friend kind of like there. And he was from like the Baltimore, like DC area. And I was from New York. And so we were like dating long distance when I first got out. And it was kind of a thing where like, I was working at this restaurant and bar, that was like all my family worked at. Yeah, I know, it's a very bad decision. And didn't really have, you know, didn't really have a solid first step, but knew I was like scared to like mess up my life, and did, you know, gain some kind of like self. I knew the way that I was living before I got sent there was not okay. And I was like so far from that. But at the same time, like nothing had changed inside of me really. Like everything on the outside had changed, but inside I was still uncomfortable. You know, I tried to have somewhat of a program and work kind of a program with like an assigned sponsor there, but like just, I didn't have a first step really is like what it came down to. But like he was kind of like going AA in his area. I kind of was and wasn't. I think I had like a milk commitment or something at this meeting, and I like did get a sponsor, and I think I worked up to the fourth step and then just like, you know, peace out, which is like classic. But I eventually I moved to this area, or to the DC area, to be with him. And the plan was to move there and just live like normal lives, like, or stay sober for like 6 months or to like appease my parents and show them I didn't just move to Virginia like for this guy, I moved for this young people's group, because he was involved in Midtown, which was like a, you know, 500 person young people's group, had all this fellowship that I just did not have in my area, even though it didn't have really interest in like AA. So, but that was like what I used like for my parents to like accept the fact that I was like moving there. And so I moved to this area, or that area, sorry, I just refer to this kind of as Virginia. And I like got swept up in this young people's group. Like these people were active, and like, it almost was like a little culty actually. Like when I first started going, like I kind of gotten assigned like a sponsor, like people were just like picking me up for meetings and like gave me a job, like working with like kids and like cleaning their teeth, just because I had like worked in like daycares and stuff. Like I had no experience with teeth. Like I'd have moms ask me questions like, oh, is this tooth going to fall out? And be like, oh, sure. Yeah. That's a big tooth. Like I didn't know what I was doing. I should not have been, but like people in AA just like gave me a job. Like I started living with like these girls who were sober and shared a house with them. And was just like swept up, like, and I had plans, and we were like taking trips and going to the beach, and, you know, had like campouts and like parties, like watches where like someone was about to get a year of sobriety and we would like count down and sing happy birthday and stuff. And it was like, all of a sudden I was like wrapped up into this like crazy young people's group. And I didn't even know that it happened to me. And after like 2 months of living here, my boyfriend had gone crazy, relapsed, started stalking me. It was like a whole thing. We broke up, and I was kind of just left in this group. And I was like, well, do I stay here? Or do I go home to New York? Like, I don't know. Like, I guess I'll just stay. And so I just stayed, and I wound up, you know, I wound up staying for 6 years. Actually, I was sober for 6 years. And it's so crazy because like, I don't think my first step was ever super solid during that time. But even though like I wasn't working the program to the best of my ability, or I still was working it, and I still got the rewards from it. Like I, like my relationships with my family got so much better. I like started sponsoring girls and stuff. Like again, like all of the outside things just got so much better. And some of the inside things, like I was able to develop that relationship with a higher power, and, you know, just like try my best kind of like to do these things. And I really loved people in AA. And I think like deep down, I knew that I was meant to be here. I just felt very distant from like my drinking. And so towards the end of those 6 years, I started like sitting in meetings and kind of feeling like a fraud. Like I kind of started feeling like very inauthentic, and feeling like if a new person came in, I didn't have like that hopelessness. Like I had nothing to offer them. I kind of felt like I, like, you know, I could take them to a meeting, or, but I kind of just felt like a, like a fraud. Yeah, I feel like I was only staying here because my friends were sober, my fiance now at this time is sober, my entire life, my career, my everything, like my roommates, just everything is a freaking AA in this like this group. And the only reason I'm here is because it's like all I know. And I've never even been drunk since I was 16. And now I'm, you know, almost whatever, I'm bad with math, but like 25 or what, let's say. And just so removed from who I was when I was drinking. And so my husband and I decided, or my fiance at the time, decided to move to Lake Anna and away from this young people's group because the DC area is just not for us in general, even though the, you know, the people were so amazing and our group was so amazing. We just wanted like something more relaxed. And we moved to Lake Anna and the fellowship was like, not the same. It wasn't like 500 young people. It was like, you know, four crusty old white dudes, like with like, you know, Chips Ahoy. Like it was just, what the hell. And like all the reasons I was coming to AA in the first place were kind of like fell off the map, and all my friends were back in the DC area. And I was already questioning, do I belong here? Like, and so I really convinced myself the spiritual thing to do would be to drink, because like, I'm not being true to myself sitting in these AA meetings. Like I need to give this thing a go and just see if I even belong here. Cause I can't even help a newcomer at this point. You know, like I stopped returning my sponsor's phone calls. I talked to my sponsor about leaving. She tried to do the whole, like, let's work the steps over again. And I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna. Cause at that point I was like, I was already out, you know, like once I like had said that out loud to her, my mind was already made up that I was going to leave AA. I was just trying to make it seem as nice as, you know, packaged as nice as possible. But like no one really supported that. But actually there were a couple of people who were like my one friend, Barbara, who's like still sober to this day. She was like, hey, like you don't have to do the same stuff that I have to do to like feel okay. Like you're a very like positive person. Like maybe you're not actually an alcoholic. Like you never have to seem to have to like do as much service or like help as many people or, and then Luke, my husband, would say things like, yeah, when we're around your family who smoke weed, drink constantly, like they're freaking crazy, my family, and I love them for it. But I never like would have, like he would have to step away and like go to a meeting and call someone. And I was just like fine with like hanging out with them until 3 a.m. And he was like, so maybe like, you know, maybe you are. So I had a couple of people who were like co-signing it a little bit. To me, it felt like, you know, that's all I needed was a couple of people, and especially people that close to me to say like, maybe, you know, I was like saying maybe. So I left, but I was actually terrified to drink again because it had been so long and I've been like so far from removed. I thought I was going to like take a drink and all of a sudden get like a DUI and get locked. You know, I just didn't know it was going to happen. So I'd waited like maybe like 2 or 3 months, I think it was like 3 months. And I remember being at this engagement party and I never drank wine. So like back in my like high school days, it was like 40s, nitrous, whatever I can get my hands on, you know, vodka, like just trash. And then this time I was at like this nice engagement party and they had like wine. And I was like, wine is what ladies drink. And now I'm like 28 or whatever I am. And so I was like, I think I'm just going to try like a glass of wine and like see how it goes. And so, and there was no one that I knew there. It was like a girl from hygiene school and stuff. And so like, she knew that I was sober, but whatever. I probably seemed like a freak to them. Cause like when I first started hygiene, I was like in AA and then I wasn't, I like told people. And so anyways, I drank this one glass of wine and nothing happened. Like I just drank one glass of wine. It actually tasted like kind of good. It burned like a little bit, but I like didn't start like obsessing for more. I actually started obsessing like, so I'm an alcoholic. Like I just started obsessing like how do I feel? Like, you know, do I, whatever. But I was able to like have a fun night. And then actually I went home to a girl's house that is, you know, one of my friends is, she's not an AA, but she's a freaking alcoholic. Like she drinks like a fish. Like, and I remember getting back to her house and her offering me wine and me saying no, and like turning it down after I had had one. And so in my head, I was just like, I was right. Like this entire time, like I had just been making a big deal of this. Yeah. Like I'm not actually, you know, I'm actually not in the AA. I think these guys might be muted. And I was really pumped about that. So like at first it started my drinking this time, just binge drinking. So it was like really looking forward to like that one girl that I was like, in my mind, she drinks like me. She drinks the way that I want, this girl, Kara. It was like making more plans with her, like less plans with my sober friends and stuff, who I was still trying to like keep, you know, connections with and keep appearances with and stuff. But I kind of found myself like ditching those people and my husband, who was like still sober at this time, for like my friends who were like drinking. And I started making more and more plans for like being like away from the house and with my coworkers and people who were like normal, you know? And like the first like big experience, like at first it was just like drinking like a couple, again, like a couple glasses or something, or a couple of drinks, and it didn't get crazy. I definitely felt the obsession, but it wasn't like I was like blacking out and everything for the first like month or two. It was just fun. Like I felt like, cause a part of me kind of felt like I'd missed out on like my college years. Like I never went away to college and like drank when I was like legal to drink, you know, like I felt like I'd missed out on those like core like years. And so even though I was like nearing 30, I felt like I was just trying to like live it up, like go to bars and like go dancing or, you know, whatever like stupid college people do. But I was like getting older and I have like a fiance and so whatever. But I started doing that. And then we had like a work bachelorette for me where we all went on a cruise, me and like three other girls. And this was in April and I was supposed to get married in May. And I just started drinking like a couple of months prior, I think like September or something. And on this cruise, it was like, this is the first time I'm like away from my husband for like a significant, you know, chunk of time. I can truly drink the way that I want. Like, it's not just on weekends. Like I can drink all day, every day. Actually, it's like kind of like accepted when you're like on a cruise, you know? So I was like, so looking forward to this. We were like on a catamaran and I felt back, like back in when I was in high school, my nickname was Shady Katie. And for good reason. And I 100% on this cruise, like turned back into Shady Katie. And what I mean by Shady Katie is like, I will steal from you. I will steal from you and then like try to like help you find it type thing. Like I'm not much of like a liar, like a cheat, just like, again, like I'm perverted. It's like all the worst, most like rawr, like just terrible things about me, but also like exciting stuff just comes out and just no care for like other people around me. All about how I feel. How I feel is 100% more important than like any, you know, damager in that moment. And so on this cruise, I'm like drinking my face off or hanging out with these guys on this catamaran. They know it's like, you know, my bachelorette and stuff and whatever. And the two older girls that I was with, the one younger girl that I was with, who was like my like role dog, my friend Harley, we were drinking like so bad that we went to like Senior Fox and she had one of those like big ones and like she couldn't hang. So once we got back to the ship, she actually like passed out. And I remember like I was trying to feed her like sliders to like wake her up to come out to dinner with me. And she like just wasn't going to do it. So she just wound up staying in the room. So it was me and the two older ladies. And when I say older, they're like 40s, but they just don't drink the way that I do, older ladies. And so we went to the bar and we saw the guys from the camera in there. And then it was like 10:30, 11 or something. And the ladies were like, we're going to go back to our room. Like it's getting like too late. And I was like, what? Like it's 11. I'm not going back to my room. Like I'm fine. Like I'll just chill with these guys. Like hang out with them all day. Like we're good. And they were like, are you sure? You know, whatever. And I was like, yeah, fine. Like I'm a big girl. I can like take care of myself. But she could not take care of herself. So they went back to their room and I proceeded to get more and more drunk, blacked out and woke up in like a really traumatic, like bad situation with a man. And again, this is my bachelorette, like, and this guy is like, what, like 15 years sober or something at this point, or maybe, I don't know, 12 years sober or something like that. And I just remember waking up like the next morning and just being like, what the fuck did I just do? Like, just feeling like that dirt, that shame, that like filth from like how I used to live, just like coupled with like, I mean, so much worse times like a million, because at this point, like I knew God, I knew I like had respect for myself. Like I was awake. It was like someone had turned the lights on. You know, if you get sober and you're sober for a couple of years, it's like back, you kind of see it as like you were sleeping type thing. Like I had been woken up this time around and like, you know, this happened again. So it was like even worse than like stuff that had happened like when I was younger and things like that. And like, I was supposed to walk down the aisle in 2 months or whatever it was. And so I have no boundaries. I wound up like telling my like family about like what happened and stuff. And it was a terrible situation. Like I wound up going to therapy. And you'd think like after something like that happened, like I would stop drinking again. Like, boom, like there's your evidence. Like you were alcoholic, like come back to AA, like let's get your life together. But it didn't. Like I went to therapy, I like wasn't ready to give up of alcohol. And my excuse was like, oh, well, I was just like learning how to drink again. I haven't drank since I was, you know, 16. Like I don't have tolerance. Like I'm just like learning how to drink again. And no one was telling me at that point to like go back to AA really. And I didn't tell that many people. I didn't tell any of my friends like in the program or anyone in AA other than my husband didn't know what happened. But my family. And so my wedding was like one of the worst days of my life, which is so sad to say. But it was, you know, like I just felt so dirty. And actually I saw you at my wedding. This is like really weird, but like I had a mixture of like drinking friends and then so many people in AA. And at this point, this was the lowest that I've ever felt in my entire life. And like all these people that I really respect, like gods to me in AA, like, and you were one of them. And the man that married us was my husband's sponsor. And I remember I was like trying to like sneak drinks a little bit at my wedding and I saw you. And there was a part of me that was like, it was just like, not okay, you know? And that was just like, it was just terrible. Like, I just hated myself. I can't explain. And I didn't even stop drinking then. It was like, I convinced myself that maybe I don't actually love my husband. Like, maybe I just fell into AA and he was the one that was there and like, just convinced myself, like, this is where my head was going. Like, I'm actually not in love with my husband. He's not the one for me. I don't know why I'm in Virginia. I should go back to New York. Like, again, like just all of this justifying like the way I was living. And I wound up, you know, going on this trip with my friends. It was like a hiking trip to like Zion and Bryce and stuff. And well, actually, I'll say before this, like I did try other things. So even though I didn't go back to AA, I knew I hated myself. I knew there was something wrong. And so I actually went to Karen, which I don't know if any of you guys know. But you can go in sobriety and I like highly, highly recommend it. It's a rehab, but they also have like a different program that's like just really amazing for like emotional sobriety and stuff. And I went to this program and I was there for like 7 days and like really tried to like heal my inner child. And we did all these like psychodramas and stuff. And I was like, maybe this will fix me. Maybe like this is the answer. And I heard this analogy before, but it was kind of like when you're driving your car on the highway and it starts like smoking and like fumes are going up and you pull over. And like the first thing you do is like check the tire because you're like, that would be so much more convenient, you know, and cheap. And like, I can just call AAA and have some dude like change my tire. Like, I don't want to deal with like the engine or like look at any of that. Like, that is way past my, and that's like what it was with alcohol. It was like, I would rather have it be anything else, have it be my husband, have it be whatever, just not alcohol, because it did something for me. Like, it just freaking did. And like, as bad as it made my life, it was worth it. Like, it was just like, and I didn't even see it. Like, to me, I was just so delusional and so in it that I was like not even able to see how much it was just making like all of my decisions for me. And so at this point, my husband doesn't trust me, obviously. I'm a freaking wreck, you know, but I'm like, I'm Sagittarius. And I'm like, I have to go live my life and be with my friends and go out. And so we like went to Vegas and did this like hiking trip and stuff. And I brought my firearm, which like in hindsight is also really dumb. And we, you know, we're Zion and whatever, like they're very close to Vegas. And so we're like, we have to go to Vegas for like at least like a couple of nights or whatever before we go hiking and stuff. And so I told him like, I didn't say I'm not going to drink because that was just ridiculous. Like I knew that there was no way that I was not going to not drink, but I was like, I'll just have a few, like I'll control it. Like, and I really, really meant it. Like, and I gaslighted the fuck out of this guy. Like the fact that he believed me, like he's not a dumb man. Like he, and you know, very weary. So, but was like, okay, now go do your thing. And long story short, I blacked out, woke up, you know, I was like blacked out at a strip club at 3 a.m. I think Crazy Horse, getting motorboated by a stripper, and then wound up waking up in like a hotel, like these guys from my high school. And that's just shady, Katie type stuff. Like, I really like all of that stuff. Like, that's just, I'm all about that. And again, like waking up and having the same exact situation, nothing happened, thank God. But well, I mean, it definitely could have, you know what I mean? Like I just put myself in the same exact situation as before. And at this point, my husband had called me the next morning and was basically just like, I've been tracking your location. I saw that you were at a strip club at like 3 a.m. last night. You didn't go back to the place you were staying at. If you have like any respect for me or our marriage, like you will be on your first flight home. Cause I was actually supposed to stay in Vegas and party with these other girls and they were going to come. And he was like, no, I'm not having that. And so I got home, and when I got back to the airport, he wasn't there to like pick me up, which was like a big deal. Like, he's just like a gentleman like that. And the fact that he wasn't there and I had to take an Uber all the way from Dallas to like Anna, which was like so expensive, but I just like slept the entire way. And the poor guy up front, like I was like a wreck. Like, I think I'd like taken an edible or something before the plane because I was just like hated myself so bad. And it was just like a very uncomfortable car ride. But I got home and my husband's like had taken all of his stuff from the master and like put it up in like the guest room. And that's kind of where I was like, wow, like this, he like means business. And he wanted to know like everything I had done, every lie that I've told him, like everything, like in my drinking, and I have to like write it down and stuff. And I started unpacking from my trip, and I was unpacking my firearm, and I had the thought, like, I could just kill myself. Like, I've just been causing so much harm. My family knows what's going on. They hate me. My husband, like, I completely just messed this man up. Like, he will never be the same. Like, our marriage is over. Like, and I just really thought, like, I could just kill myself. And that, like, had never occurred to me again. Like, I was always more of a runner, but at this point, like, running wasn't even, I knew that running wasn't going to do anything at this point. Like, that's how bad I, like, just how hopeless I felt. And so I went out into the living room and I told him the thought I had, and he was like, do you think it's your drinking? And I was like, oh, like, yes, like, obviously. And he was like, you need to call Elise, who was my sponsor, like, when I was sober the first 6 years. And so I called her, and she met with me the next day. She came to all the way from the DC area. She met with me the next day in Fredericksburg to go over like what happened in the last year and a half. It was only a year and a half that I was like out drinking, and like, man, the freaking damage and like just terrible. It's like, for me, when I drink alcohol, it is like a corrosive agent that like literally like rots me and rusts me from the inside. Like, I am incapable of seeing like how my actions affect other people. I am so selfish, so self-centered, just so dishonest. And like, even with myself, the most to myself, like just so delusional. I should be locked in like a freaking ward, like just no reality to differentiate like the truth from the false. This really makes me feel New York in town in this like microphone. I feel like I've hit it like 17 times. So I dragged my sorry butt like back to these rooms, was not pumped about it. Cause again, like, I was not back in that like Northern Virginia area. I was like back in the like Anna-ish area. But actually it was great. Like, my husband in that time had started a meeting of young people's, cause he freaking needed to get out of the house. And, you know, like he would go to a meeting and I'd be like, yay. Cause I didn't like drink at home. But he is like out there like creating fellowship and stuff for people. And so when I came back, I was able to like go to his meeting that he started, and there were like a bunch of young people there. And I had like terrible, you know, I had like my best friend, one of my best friends like passed away when I was 2 months sober. That was like completely out of nowhere. And she was in the program as well. And so that was really difficult. And this time being new felt like my first time being new. Like, even though I had been in the program before, it didn't feel, again, like authentic. I didn't really feel like an AA member, if I'm like really honest with myself. But this time it was like, I feel you if you're new, like, it is not comfortable. Like, I just felt, you know, alcohol was my solution. And when you took that away, it was like all that self-centeredness, that yuck, that just like, just itchy feeling, but the loudness and everything was just like intense. And like to have grief on top of that and go through that. But like, AA just like picked me up. Like, my old friends, you know, were still there and still like cared about me and like never like, you know, just like judged me or anything. They just like welcomed me back and were like, you know, like, we're here for you. And, you know, I've had to do a lot of work like on my marriage, like the fact that like my husband, and actually this is something that's like really important, but like when I came back and I told him like what had happened on the cruise, like his first reaction when I told him was like, I love you. It's okay. Like, we're going to like work through this. And like, there was a part of me that was like, oh my God, like, you're an angel. Like, I love you. Like, I knew you would say that. And I'm not going to lie, I just like admitted this to myself, like the last time I spoke, but the bigger part of me was like, shit. Like, I was really hoping you were going to say like, fuck you, so I could just go and live and just cause wreckage and not feel, do you know what I mean? Just like cut ties right there. And like, that's what like we were dealing with, like in our relationship. And so like this time, like I had to work like so much on really like most of it was like forgiving myself kind of thing. And that sounds like so whatever. But it was like just working on that and like making the amends and, you know, like time takes time thing, which like sucks to hear. But like, we really do, like, our relationship is like stronger than ever. Like, we have like the freaking best relationship. And I think a big part of that is because our foundation was in AA. Like, it started here. Do you know what I mean? And now it is still here. And like, our feet are both planted here. We both have our own higher powers. And my drinking also this time really taught me that, like, even though I have higher power, without AA, I am incapable of having like a personal relationship with a higher power. Like, there is so much garbage that like blocks me off from that, like, sunlight of the spirit or whatever you want to call it, like the shame, the character defects, and the steps are like the only thing that like helps me just like clear that path out so that I have that like connection. And like the fact that like someone like me that is just like so self-centered and my like, you know, head is so loud and just like desperately like want you to see me, but also like not see me at all and like keep you, you know, far away and has like all of that going on. The fact that I'm able to like see God and have that as a part of my life is just amazing. And like for me, like, you know, I think AA is a big enough God. Like if you just believe that this can work. And again, like I was saying earlier, like I do have faith in AA because like any time that I have like pushed through and like done the work, I've always come out like on the other side. And it's just like doing things that you don't think are gonna work. And you may not like really be like very pumped to do, but just doing them anyway. And then just trying to like do things like this, like share your experience and keep it green. And if you're lucky, like get to help people. And for me, that hasn't looked like sponsorship like recently, just because we've been like so all over the place and traveling and stuff on the RV. But it can look like this, or, you know, just like introducing myself to someone that's new or reaching out to the girls that I know are sober. And it's also being helpful, you know, at work, like just being a good employee, like at home, like being like the best mom I can be. And like, I will touch on that really quick. Like the biggest thing to me is that I have always wanted to be like a sober mom, and like, thank God for AA, because like the fact that my kids have never seen me drink, and like, I hope that they never do, you know, it is just the greatest gift. Like I can't explain like how grateful I am for my sobriety this time. And I'm so grateful that, you know, I did go and drink and do all that stuff, just because like now I do have that, like, I just concede like to my innermost self that I'm alcoholic. Like I know this is home for me. And I know that this works. Like I have done it. I've seen it work for so many people. You know, my husband's still sober. So many of my friends are still sober. That guy, Tony, yeah, Tony was his name, not Bill, from when my mom first got sober. Tony is still sober, that I used to put on Britney Spears concerts for from when I was like 6 years old or whatever. When I go back to meetings in New York, he is still there. And like, that's just amazing. That's like a testament to AA. Like this really freaking works. And I hope like if my kids ever need it, like they will know where to go, because mommy and daddy go to meetings and we always say like, mommy has to go help people tonight or whatever. That's like what we would tell them. But I feel unbelievably overpaid. I'm not the best AA member like at all. I mess this up like on a regular, but as long as I am super honest, for me, like I just have to be blurted out. Like I'm almost borderline like overshare with everybody, but especially my sponsor. Sometimes just like, okay, girl, you're gonna have to, but I would rather just like get it all out. And just be open-minded and just like keep doing it, you know? And if you don't relate to anything I say, totally understand, but just keep coming back, because somebody like will share, you know, your experience. And AA is the best place ever. And you never have to feel the way that you felt before you came here again. So thank you so much for letting me speak here. Thanks for asking me.